damn it, you guys, I recorded this episode, and then I get online, and Microsoft has released a trailer for Iron Fist 2 and this really cool 10-year anniversary thing for Marvel Studios. Ugh, I can't get all the news in one day if they're going to start releasing crap after 8 o'clock at night on my time. I'll talk about it more tomorrow, maybe. But just know, I saw it. It looks awesome, both of them. So, yeah. Enjoy the episode. Yes, said it. Or at least Dick Grayson says it. Those are his controversial words in the new Titans trailer, debuting on the DC streaming network, DC Universe, later this fall. We're going to talk about that coming up here on the second episode of the 8-Bit Hero Podcast. But there's a lot to get to. First of all, if you listened to the first episode, thank you. If you're listening to the second episode, thank you, because that means you came back, and that makes me happy. If you didn't listen to the first episode, but you're listening to this episode, why? Go listen to the first episode, and then come back again. Go ahead and listen to this episode. It doesn't matter what you did with the last one. I ramble. If you're new, and this is your first episode, I ramble. So, my name is Brandon Nichols. I am your host, and I said at the end of the last episode that I talked really fast. I started really fast on the first episode, and I eventually felt myself slow down as I got a little more comfortable talking. I'm going to try to start slowing down, a little more comfortable talking. So I will say the next 3 days, today is Thursday. I'm recording this Thursday, 7/19. This will be live tomorrow, actually probably late tonight. So you'll hear it Friday. Today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, I will be recording an episode for Every Day of San Diego Comic-Con to give my thoughts on any and all announcements, if there are ones that I feel I want to talk about. Now, what you're going to get from me isn't all the news. There's a crap ton of news of all the stuff that was taking place today at the comic book convention in San Diego. I'm probably not going to cover something somebody wants to hear or to hear my take on. Their websites, there's Sci-Fi Wire, there's IGN, there's any number of geek-related websites out there, that you, Polygon, anything that you can listen to, or listen to, you can go read, because you can't listen to a website unless they have a podcast like mine right here. But a lot of them also do have video, so you could listen. Again, I ramble. I apologize. So, if there's something you're looking for that you didn't get anything on, you know what? Let me know what you want my take on. If something I missed and I don't talk about, because there's going to be a lot of stuff I know I'm not going to talk about over the next 4 days as to stuff that took place at Comic-Con, hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on the website in the comment section. Whatever way you want to contact me and discuss with me, or want my topic on, or me to talk about a topic on, let me know. I'm willing to look into it and give you my opinion. I made lists throughout the day. I work a full-time job. So I kind of took notes via skimming through Twitter, watching videos throughout the day on my phone, on my lunch break doing stuff. I made a list of stuff that I wanted to talk about throughout the day. It is DC heavy, and I apologize for that, but I'm going to save all the DC stuff for the later half of the podcast. So I will just throw that out there. It's DC heavy, not because Marvel didn't release a lot of news. It just wasn't the most talked about stuff on my feed. And I know there was some more Marvel news that was released that I know I just didn't see. And I apologize. It's not that I do follow more DC things than I do Marvel things, just being honest and open about it. But I also came home and did some research on some of the bigger Marvel news. And it seemed like more today and just in general was a DC heavy day. So, plus, it really sucks that Marvel pulled the MCU out of San Diego Comic-Con. Disney's got its own thing going, but I do have some Marvel news, so it's not like I'm completely disregarding them. So, I'm going to get started on, and this is going to be a little more rapid fire, kind of like yesterday's episode. It probably won't be until my first episode of next week, which my normal schedule will be hopefully recording Tuesday night with new episodes on Wednesday. So I'll get a little bit of break after Sunday. I might take next week off and just start with my first episode or my next episode after these four on August. The first full week of August. Not sure yet. Still deciding. Depends on what happens between now and Wednesday. But my normal schedule will be hopefully record Tuesday night, post Wednesday morning. Just so that everybody is aware, and I'm still working on getting iTunes and everybody in line to have this stuff posted. But for now, you can check the links out on the Facebook, on the website, and we'll go from there. So I just, this order, this list, I was going to go in order of how I saw them throughout the day, but I kind of rearranged it a little to get some non-comic stuff into comic stuff and news going. So without further ado, let's talk about some stuff that happened today at Comic-Con, because I am excited about a lot of stuff from Comic-Con today. Doctor Who, the new trailer, was up and announced today. They showed the trailer, and they showed the Doctor's new sonic screwdriver. So I personally loved the trailer. I'm really looking forward to having a female Doctor. You know, it was such a sensitive topic when they announced it last year. I think it's an overreaction, but having said that, three new companions, a little bit in there of her, they don't really show you much. I mean, there's a whole lot of clips, and her over talking over it, but, a little shot of her and her new screwdriver, which if you follow some of the people I follow, there were a lot of talk about what the heck the screwdriver looked like. When I first saw the sonic screwdriver in her hand, and you could really only see the top, I actually thought it looked like a lipstick, case with lipstick sticking out, which I thought looked a little weird. Once I saw the full image, which you can Google, it just looks like a really cool futuristic sonic screwdriver. Having said that, unfortunately, some of my more male dominated people that I follow had other opinions of what it looked like that were, yeah, we won't get into that. But anyways, it got me going, because I with everything else going on, I kind of lost track of Doctor Who. And I'm really now back on the, oh crap, Doctor Who starts back up finally this year. It's like Game of Thrones. They take these long breaks with Doctor Who. So Series 11 trailer was out. I highly recommend looking into it. Looks really good. Really excited for the new Doctor, whose name I totally just forgot, even though I literally just said it to my wife, Jodie Whittaker. There we go. Just off the top of my head. So yeah, also they announced that the Mr. Glass trailer will drop tomorrow. If you're not familiar with what Mr. Glass is, I think it's supposed to be the final in the M. Night Shyamalan series. It's a follow-up to Unbreakable and Split. It's M. Night Shyamalan superhero series. I loved Unbreakable. I honestly never saw Split. Split star James McAvoy. But everybody I knew that saw it liked it. So I'm going to look into that, because I want to see that. I'll probably watch it before I actually watch the Mr. Glass trailer. So even though that releases tomorrow, there's a good chance I don't watch it tomorrow. And there might be something I get back to my opinion on, but I will say I love James McAvoy. I love Bruce Willis. I love Samuel L. Jackson. All three are in the movie, and they've got a very interesting artwork released for it. They look like they all three have their own like color scheme and things going on that they're doing with it. It looks really cool. I do kind of like M. Night Shyamalan, even though a lot of people don't like his stuff. You know, he gets into the twists and turns and crap, and for whatever reason, people get tired of it. Some of it you can see coming. Some of it it's just tired and boring. And I get that. That's your thing. Cool deal. Also announced in the, on the entertainment front, Clone Wars has been saved, and Disney will be doing a whole new 12 episodes of Clone Wars. It'll be on their streaming service that they have coming out. I don't know when their streaming service is coming out or if they've officially announced it or not yet. I know DC's is this fall. I think for some reason that Disney's is supposed to be next year. I'll look into that a little bit more, get some more information on that for you on my episode for tomorrow. So Disney service, making note. But oh man, I know so many Clone Wars fans. It was actually one of the few, and this is gonna be controversial, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. All right, I paused so you can get your outrage out in me saying that. And no, it's not because I am a huge Star Trek fan. I am a Star Trek fan, but it's not why I don't really care for Star Wars that much. That is a whole nother episode we will get into because it's a big topic. It's something I catch a lot of shit for. I lose all my geek cred for not being a Star Wars fan, but I have my legit reasons, and I trust me, it'll be its own episode. I want to talk about it at some point. But yeah, no, I do enjoy the Clone Wars cartoon that was on Disney. I think it's cool that the diehard fans, much like the Young Justice fans, that are getting their next season done for them. And I tell you, you make enough noise about these TV shows, and they're willing to save them. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, stuff like that. Which also, there was a scene, I don't know if it was upcoming Amazing Spider-Man comic, which somebody showed that was posted today, where I don't know who, remember who Spider-Man was fighting in the scene in the comic, but you made me crack, but I never say never, you know. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled, but now look, it's back. See, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, if you watch the show in the first place, then it doesn't get canceled because then they get ratings. That's not always how it works. But you just got to show you that you love stuff and they get it going. So I think that's what I got there. This isn't the problem with doing these like whole bunch of these little news stories, which, like I said, I'll be a little more organized once we start normal episodes. Marvel Games had a panel today. They pimped their card game a little bit more, their digital card game. I'm not really big into that. A lot of people are. If people want me to talk about it a little more, send me messages. Let me know. I'll talk about it. I'll even try playing it again. I tried my hardest to play it. I could not get into it. But the big showcase for the Marvel Games panel today was, of course, Spider-Man coming out on the PlayStation 4 this September. And they showed a story trailer that introduced Sable for the first time. Basically, it seems like old Norman Osborn has made Spider-Man an outlaw. Anybody who sees him, public enemy number one. But the trailer looks great. The game in general looks great. There's some amazing, got pretty much any Spider-Man villain you could possibly think of. The fight, there's a nice little fight scene between him and Sable. It's pretty awesome. Also in the trailer is, I'm pretty confident it was Mary Jane Watson. It sounded like that's what he said her name was. It was really quick, but also Miles Morales as just Miles. Basically, hey, we're going to beat all the bad guys. We got to do it together. So there's some foreshadowing there. I think they're going to show Miles do his whole Spider-Man thing. I don't know if it'll be an origin part of it or just, oh, hey, you are already Spider-Man in this universe and I need your help. Sorry, I needed a drink. But either way, I'm looking forward. They also announced a limited edition PS4 Pro 1 TB, beautiful, glossy red PS4 with a huge white Spider-Man emblem right on the side of it. Man, I gotta tell you, I got the Arkham Knight PlayStation 4 when it was released, which was my third PlayStation 4. Let me tell you my story of my PlayStation 4s. I had a PlayStation 4, a launched PlayStation 4, loved it, worked great. A buddy of mine couldn't find one, and he really wanted one, but he didn't want to pay full price, and this was probably within a week or two after release. Well, then Destiny, the original Destiny, OG Destiny, was announced with this gorgeous combo bundle with a gorgeous white PS4 that I've come to just love white systems. I don't know what it was on my love for my old Xbox 360 or what, but man, that Destiny PS4 looked beautiful. Sat and begged my wife to let me buy this if I could sell my launch PS4. My buddy was in the market. Sold it to him, a little bit of a reduced used price, even though it was in great condition. Was able to get myself the Destiny PS4, which I had and took very good care of and loved until they announced the Arkham, Arkham Knight. Brain shut down there for a second. When they released Arkham Knight, I'm a Batman freak. I saw it and went, I need that. It wasn't a, man, that looks good. It was a, I need that. Which made me approach my wife again. Honey, if I could sell this gorgeous white PS4 that I absolutely love, if I can find somebody to buy it, can I please buy the Arkham Knight Batman one with the nice Arkham or Batman silhouette on the top of it? And I got a yes, but this is the last time. Floated it out there. A good friend of mine, Chip, who said he listened to the first episode and said it was great and couldn't wait for the second one. If you listen to the second one, thank you, Chip. He bought my beautiful white Destiny PS4, and I think he still uses it. I see him online every once in a while. If it's not him, it's his kid. But and I was able to get my Batman Arkham Knight PS4 that I've had ever since. But goddamn, that freaking Spider-Man PS4 Pro is gorgeous looking. But I can't give up my Batman one. So I almost feel like I need to figure out a way to work like 50 hours or more overtime just so that I can buy that PS4 Pro, because it's so beautiful. So, so beautiful. But they also announced during that panel that the final, the third and final Spider-Man outfit for pre-order is the Velocity outfit. They also made sure to point out that all of the outfits that you're getting that are in the game, that are not just pre-order, but all the outfits and the costumes in the game, plus the costumes that you get from pre-order, are all have some kind of play in the story for a specific reason. And they're not just, boom, hey, you have this costume for some reason. But the Velocity costume looks pretty slick. It's like an extenuated version of his normal one, except instead of white, it's glowing like bluish purple. I thought it looked pretty badass. It was only some quick clips of it, but you know, it took a while, but the Insomniac version of the Spider-Man outfit with the big white spider on the front with the blue, it took a while, but it finally grew on me, partly because I had it as a desktop background for a while, but I loved it. I finally love it, and I'm looking forward. The other pre-orders are punk rock looking Spider-Man, which looks really cool, that they're also making their own Hot Toys figure for, a limited edition. Looks really cool. Spider-Man punk outfit, mohawk with a cool looking electric guitar. The second one is the Iron Spider outfit from Infinity War. And then finally the Velocity one, which is coming out. There's also a limited edition art book that they released for the game. Insomniac is really good at this stuff, and Sony works hand in hand with them. And the art book, you know, Marvel's got a control over everything, so you know this art book is going to be kick ass. So it's probably the game I'm looking forward to most. Red Dead Redemption 2 was highly up there for the game I was looking for the most this fall, but it's got to be Spider-Man. My hopes are so high for Spider-Man. If that game bombs, I might cry. I literally might cry because of how high my hopes are for this game. But yeah, one of the other games they talked about in that panel, Marvel VR Powers United for Oculus Rift. It's actually set to release July 26th. 18 heroes, including Spider-Man and Wolverine, basically you put on the VR headset and you get to swing around as Spider-Man, claw people up. Just fight. They didn't really get into the story that much, or what the story might be, or if it's just levels set up for you to complete. I haven't really gotten into VR yet. I wanted to get a PlayStation VR. I also want an Oculus Rift. My PC is set up to be able to handle Oculus Rift as well as the one that Facebook has. That's Oculus Rift. HTC Vibe, my computer's set up for those. So I really want to get into VR. It's just kind of hard. It's expensive. It's really, really expensive. Not so much on the PlayStation as it is on the computer. But I'll tell you what, that Marvel game, that VR looks pretty slick. You get to be in one of the characters, like literally be with your hands, especially with the way that the Oculus Rift has the controls that wrap around your hands and gives you a little more freedom to do some stuff. So that looks really cool. I'm really interested to see what kind of reviews that gets when it comes out, and see if it helps push some of the VR headsets, and hopefully down the road, this game is something, if it does good, that almost kind of like pushes them to release it on PlayStation VR, and maybe even Microsoft's HoloLens whenever they get that going. But while we're still talking about gaming, Real quick, Nidhogg 2 released today on the Xbox One. It's very popular on the PS4 right now. It was on sale for like $5 last week, and I totally missed it. It's like a 2D side-scrolling jousting game that is a really quick game. It's like you kill somebody, and they immediately respawn, and you have to... It's a back and forth. It's really fast. It's a lot of fun. It's very comedic at times. Look into Nidhogg 2. It's now available on PC, Xbox, PlayStation 4. The developers said that Switch is next. So, I mean, you need to put it on Switch. Everything needs to be on Switch at this point, right? I mean, it just makes sense. And then, now, let's get into a little bit of comic news. Also, I want to throw in there, what are your thoughts on me doing a sound effect between topics? For instance, I talk Doctor Who for 5 minutes, and then... Yes, that was the Wayne's World. But anyway, something that goes in transition in the next topic. I don't know. I feel like if I just keep going and going and going and hitting them one right after the other, I feel like I'm going too fast. I'm not shutting up. Again, I feel like I've sped up this episode, but still, we're almost 30 minutes in. Whatever. It's a shit show, and I'm okay with it. It'll get better over time, right? We already talked about this. So let's get into a little bit of comic news with some of the very little Marvel news I have in terms of comics. They posted on their... I might edit that out. Not sure. Marvel posted on their Instagram a tease for X-Men for fall 2018. They're going to make some kind of announcement Sunday during the X-Men panel. There were some hopes and some jokes about them maybe finally adding themselves to the MCU. I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure they're bringing back Uncanny X-Men, which would be awesome to get that back in comic form. I would love to just... That would get me back into reading X-Men. It's one of my favorite comic books of all time is Uncanny X-Men. But if they do that, I think that is how they segue into bringing X-Men into the MCU in some way, shape, or form. Since it looks like the Disney acquisition of Fox is pretty much going to take place at this point, with Comcast officially dropping out of the market to buy Fox. I think that was announced yesterday, maybe this morning. But so, I don't know. If it's Uncanny X-Men and they use it to introduce a new version, so to speak, of X-Men, or to make them seem more in line to get people into being able to transition them into the MCU, I think that'd be a cool way to do it. Black Panther's sister Shuri is getting her own series, which is... It's releasing in October, and I'm going to be honest, I cannot pronounce the author's name, and I feel horrible. I'm going to murder it when I try this. Nadiri Okafor, and I know I just murdered that. I apologize, but I'll watch some videos and correct it next time. Yeah, she's one of the better parts of the Black Panther movie. Not that there was anything wrong with the Black Panther movie. I love the Black Panther movie, and I loved her in both it and Infinity War. But I think it's cool that they're giving her own comic. Again, the more of that kind of comic needs to take place. People of color, female-led comics, this is good stuff. It brings in a bigger audience into the medium, and it's good stuff. I know that's some kind of lame Marvel news, but that's really what I have from today. I apologize. I'm sure there's many more websites out there and other people covering Marvel more religiously. Hopefully I'll have a better, some more stuff tomorrow and for the rest of the week. So I'm going to get into some DC news. Oh man, Lego Aquaman. I don't know if this was ever announced. I don't ever remember seeing anything for Lego Aquaman, and I try to keep track of all the Lego stuff, especially the DC-related Lego stuff, but they're releasing a Lego Aquaman later this year, and it looks hilarious, like pretty much all. I'm a goober when it comes to any of the Lego stuff. We buy the video games. I love the video games. We watch all the movies. I have two boys. If it's Lego, it's in. If it's a superhero, it's in. We'll watch it. We'll consume it. It's really cool stuff. So check out that. Also, I meant to cover this yesterday, but I totally forgot to talk about it. Aquaman's costume from comics, the golden green costume, orange or gold, depending on how you look at it, which version you look at, has officially been confirmed to be in the Aquaman movie in some way, shape, or form. So I think that's pretty cool if they can pull it off. It's also, they've got several action figures and several statues that they've shown and released. Plus, there's a huge life-size Lego Aquaman statue also in with Jason Momoa's head, but with the old school comic gold and green costume. It looks really slick. Comic-wise, they announced Green Lantern gets a new writer. One of my favorite writers in comics is Grant Morrison, and he'll be taking over Green Lantern. And he's basically, people are using the word cop procedural for what Green Lantern's trying to do. He's, or for what Grant Morrison's trying to do with Green Lantern. Basically, what he's wanting to do is turn it more into focusing on Hal's day-to-day, as a, for lack of a better term, space cop roles. I mean, Hal is set to defend the world and the Milky Way universe, but it's so much centered around all his normal villains and his work with the Justice League that this is just going to be like, he does more than the big things. You know, there's big events that, yeah, he did take a lot of his time, but the smaller infractions, so to speak. So it'd be like, it was, for the lack of a better way of saying it, it's like they're going to follow Grant Morrison. Sounds like he's going to follow around Green Lantern like an episode of Cops. That's how I take it, but I like that idea. I think it's cool to have more. The big overarching story arcs in comics are really cool at times. But to be honest, the smaller stuff, like, give me some more shorter stories. Those are the ones that, like, oh, remember the time this happened? Yeah, it was hilarious. That's where you get into more of the character development stuff. And I'm really looking forward to that. Also, Aquaman's getting a new writer. Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to be taking over Aquaman. That I'm not familiar, honestly, with that writer. But I look forward to see what Aquaman is. Geoff Johns' run on Aquaman in the New 52 was amazing, and I kind of fell off after he left the project. And lastly, the DC Comics streaming service had a lot revealed today about it, including the Titans trailer, which we will get to that here in a little bit. The prices were announced: monthly $7.99, annually $74.99. I'm good with those prices. I think that fits. For what they're toting you get with it, I think that's pretty good. The $7.99 and the $74.99 get you access. I'm just going to read this straight off the DC Universe website. Access DC Universe and all your favorite devices. Enjoy unlimited access to exclusive original DC animated movies, select legendary films and TV shows, a curated list of DC comics, and more. Daily news program and exclusive members only shop. And chance to win access to events and exclusive experiences. There's a 7-day trial on both. The only difference between the annual and the monthly is they're touting premium annual member benefits and rewards, and you save 20% if you sign up for it annually. I'll probably sign up for it annually. Also because, I don't know if it's just because I had signed up for news or what, but in my personal email, I got a notification saying that if I signed up for the annual pass, I would also get an additional 3 months free and entered to win a trip to the Aquaman premiere in December. So, I mean, why not, right? One chance to win that. Plus 3 months free. Yay! So, they also dug a little bit more deeper into what all you get with the DC streaming universe. Sci-Fi Wire has a really good article up about it. If you're looking for it, the title and headline is DC Universe Streaming Drops First Titans Trailer, Annual Cost, Deeper Catalog Announced. And even more deeper than what they announced on the initial thing, which I'll get into a little bit later, talking about Geoff Johns. The DC Universe will be available on your iOS and Android devices. It will also be on Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Android TV, and Google Chromecast. So you'll be able to stream these things through other services, obviously. That's a good call. The what I think everybody is doing nowadays anyways. I'll read this one paragraph here from the Sci-Fi Wire article. Is some of the video content available at launch includes classic Christopher Reeve Superman feature films, Linda Carter Wonder Woman 77 TV series, Max Fleischer's Superman serials, Batman Ninja, which I saw mixed opinions about. I'll probably cover that in a later episode. The Dark Knight, and just confirmed early seasons of Batman the Brave and the Bold, Justice League the Animated Series, and Batman Beyond. There was also a demo they had up showing selections of Batman the Animated Series, Static Shock, DC Original Films, Lois and Clark Adventures of Superman, Constantine, The Adventures of Superboy, and much, much more. Much, much more. So, but also, which they announced later this evening, this late afternoon, they're also doing a Stargirl live action show from the JLA. Jeff Johns, who I'm worried is going to get extremely overextended and burnt out and end up just quitting life, is in charge of doing a Stargirl live action show, and I'm super excited about that because I love the Justice League of America, and I'm really interested to see where he goes with that. But in terms of him being, in my opinion, burnt out, as most people know, he stepped down from the movie division of DC and is focusing on his own production company. He's focusing on writing and all the CW DC stuff that he's a part of producing. And on top of that, they announced so much more stuff today. He's finishing up Doomsday Clock, which I believe number six comes out next week. They showed some images today of Rorschach meeting, I think it was Batman and Superman, if I remember correctly. He also finally, they announced, I talked about a little bit about this yesterday when I was talking about the Joaquin Phoenix Batman movie. The DC Black Label will be printing three Jokers. They're three 46-page premium stories about there being three Jokers and Batman's relationship with them. It will be focused on Batman, Barbara Gordon, and Jason Todd, probably the three people affected by the Joker being in their lives the most. I'm really looking forward to that. That's super awesome. I'm like, ever since they announced this whole three Joker thing in Justice League and Flash, I've been like, will you just give me more. I'm a huge Joker fan. So I'm really interested to see what Johns does with this, especially if they do end up playing this in somehow with the DCEU and whatever they're doing with Joaquin Phoenix. I think that'd be super cool if there's a tie-in. I'm not saying there is, just throwing that out there. Having said that, also, he's starting his own Shazam, or a new Shazam that drops later this year. I didn't write down the date that's released, but so Shazam, Doomsday Clock, three Jokers, his work doing all the different I did write down Shazam. Sorry, Shazam releases in November. His work on all the CW shows. He's also starting a new imprint with DC Comics called The Killing Zone, where he basically talked in the panel today about how he wanted to take all these characters that haven't even maybe seen the light of day at DC for decades, and he wants to create stories with them. I don't know if this is The Killing Zone. To me, kind of sounds like he's going to take all these old characters that DC has property of and ownership of, and maybe it's just a way for him to kill all of them off or give them a reason to live, only to kill them. At least going off the name The Killing Zone, I think that would be a great use of the characters, depending on what they are. Unless they're somebody's favorite character, then no, they shouldn't do that, and I apologize for saying that. Also, finally, today was the release of the Titans trailer. Holy shit, so many people have opinions. I have opinions too, but goddamn. Of course, the most controversial part of the entire trailer would be Mr. Dick Grayson himself saying fuck Batman. This the Dick Grayson you're getting in this Titans show is is the jaded Dick Grayson. Let me say this. There's a lot of homage to the old school Titans and the characters from the past that made this what it is. And this is a jaded Dick Grayson. This is the, you know, people like to gloss over this stuff, but Dick Grayson didn't leave Batman on good terms. I mean, there was a lot of hard feelings there. And they tell you this is Dick Grayson after leaving Batman. And there's a good fight scene where it shows him taking down some thugs, which he does not shoot. For people who watch the trailer and complain about Dick Grayson killing people, he might have stepped on a guy's neck and maybe broken it. I'll give you that. But he's not firing the gun at people. He's firing the gun to disorientate them, and then he fights the rest of them. I mean, he doesn't actually show him shooting people. Similar to if you saw Batman versus Superman, it's the fight scene with Batman towards the end of the movie where he does the disorientation with the bangs and everything. He doesn't actually shoot people with the gun. But one of the bad guys yells, "Where's Batman?" He beats the shit out of him, then finishes up with "Fuck Batman." So it looks like the story shows Raven, who's starting to develop her, I want to say powers, but her powers, and she doesn't know what to do, and somehow she's drawn to Dick Grayson, knowing, I don't know if she knows he was Robin, or if Dick Grayson, she just knows of his past as in the circus and the Flying Graysons, because that's how the episode or the trailer starts, with her walking into what looks like an old circus tent. I mean, I don't know if this is a vision or something, a nightmare she's having, where it shows the death of Dick Grayson's parents. But she goes to him as a cop in a police department and says, "I know you who you are. I need your help." Then there's some action scenes with Starfire, some Beast Boy, Hawk and Dove are in there. Hawk and Dove and Robin seem to give no fucks. They're all about beating the shit out of everybody and anybody. I think Beast Boy looks solid. They don't really show much. They show him jumping. I'm glad he's green. There was some of the stills that were released earlier in the year shows him not green. So obviously that was done post-production, but I don't know. This is all starting out, and this whole thing wraps around who they are when they meet and how they start. One of my biggest issues is Starfire. I can't get over the fact that they have her dressing like a hooker, and I don't mean. And let me say this: by Starfire has always been displayed as a very sexual looking device point, in my opinion. I feel like DC's never given her a proper, until recently, because if I remember correctly, the recent Starfire costume looks pretty solid and not as revealing, but they've sexualized Starfire a lot in comics, and so I expected them to do that a little bit here. But there's a difference between sexualizing somebody and dressing them like they are standing on a corner. And unfortunately, I feel like that's how she's dressed. I don't even care about the pink hair. The pink hair doesn't necessarily look like it fits, but I'm okay with it. It's just the fur coat and the dress. It just, there's something about it that just screams somebody standing on a corner. There's no other way for me to say it. That's not to say anything bad about people who do that as a profession. That's their thing. But there's just a lower look to it, in my opinion. And it's rough. It draws back some of the quality of the trailer for me. I also think the trailer could have been edited a whole lot better. There was, at times, really made it look like a fan film. Some of the cutting between scenes and stuff. I'm okay with... there's a lot of complaints out there about people. Oh, an angsty teen drama. They're teenagers. What do you want? Obviously, Starfire looks a little older, and Robin is older and more weathered. But Beast Boy and Raven are kids, and they can tell. And there's a lot going on here. And I mean, they are the Teen Titans. That's the point, and that's what it is. So it's drama filled. Especially, I mean, the story looks like it's wrapped around Raven trying to figure out who she is as a person, and she is a very complicated person. I mean, her father's basically the devil. So, I mean, spoilers if you don't know who Raven is. I apologize. At this point, I'm just assuming. So, I'm looking forward to see what they do with it. I want a little bit more info, and I hope they can elaborate a little more. They did confirm this afternoon that Jason Todd as Red Hood will be in the series. So that got me really excited because Red Hood Jason Todd is one of my favorite characters. Robin Jason Todd, not so much, but obvious reasons. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's also been a confirmation, I believe, that at some point Dick Grayson will go from being Robin to being Nightwing. I don't know if it'll be in the first season that they do or the second season, if hopefully it is well received. But there's that. Watch the trailer. I really want to know what people think. And when I ask you guys to tell me what you think of stuff, I just want your opinion. I don't want you to rip it apart. Like, if you don't like something, just say you don't like it. Don't be a dick. Oh, DC's horrible and this just proves it. Oh, everything's going to trash. Just tell me what you genuinely liked or didn't like about something, especially this trailer, because I'm really interested about the issues anybody may have. It's out there. And the TVMA thing is they're really going for gritty. But having said that, I don't see it being too far off from most any other television. I think the TVMA thing was just, I was watching an interview with somebody earlier today, and they wonder if the TVMA thing was there purely just because they have Grayson drop the F-bomb in the middle of the trailer. Because you don't want to be startled watching that and not being prepared. You see the TVMA thing at the start of it, and you're a little more prepared for somebody to say the word fuck. Which I guess I should put a TVMA thing before this, because I cuss a lot, and I apologize for that, for the most part. But, so I'm really curious as to where it goes, especially with the transition to Nightwing, Jason Todd, and how they transition them from being normally dressed people and getting their own costumes. My theory is to, and I was talking about this earlier today with somebody, was that I think that Robin's going to hopefully already have some familiarity with Hawk and Dove. And I would love it to where he recruits Hawk and Dove to help mold Raven, Starfire, and Beast Boy into being better versions of themselves. And I'm hoping that maybe by the end of the first season, they've got new outfits and new costumes, and everybody's all, you know, dressed up in their more reasonable looking get-ups. So it'd be really interesting how that works. So that's the most everything I have from Comic-Con from day one. I'm going to try and get a little more diverse stuff and not talk about so much DC, even though the more I look at my list, I feel like I was a little more even. The only thing that I really wavered on was my Marvel info, and I apologize for that. I just think that from even my own research when I got home and did some looking, I just felt like the news for Marvel wasn't that heavy today. But that's going to change. I know it's got to change. They've got a whole lot of stuff coming up, comics planned, and I think there's a lot of panels tomorrow that they're going to release some information on. Saturday, that was the big day. A lot of trailers for DC dropping, Shazam, Aquaman. Really looking forward to that X-Men panel on Sunday to see what they're doing with X-Men. I'll also try to keep posting stuff on Facebook, and I'm not posting much on Facebook. I need to set up Twitter to where it auto posts to Facebook. I think that helps a lot of people like that, but I'm mostly on Twitter more than I am on anything else. So again, like, subscribe, share. Thank you for listening. If you listened to the first episode, I appreciate it. If you listen to the second episode, I appreciate it even more. And hopefully you'll be back again for the third episode. Like I said, these Comic-Con things, there's going to be a lot of rapid fire, a lot of me jumping topics. My normal layout will hopefully be, hey, this is what we're talking about today. And do me do a quick news section and then talk about some just X topics for each episode. There's a lot of stuff coming up I want to talk about, so thank you for listening. And I remembered my sign off from last night was I'll see you next week. And I think I'm going to stick with that, even though I'll be back tomorrow. So, well, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you next week.